Eboo Patel is a popular Muslim writer and organizer who founded the Interfaith Youth Corps in 2002. Eboo, welcome to State of Belief Radio. Thanks for being with us again.
Welton, thank you so much for having me.
I think of those of us outside the Muslim American community, with the exception of those who might incorrectly be perceived as being Muslim, it's almost impossible to truly understand the fear that came along with hearing that the Boston Marathon bombing suspects identify as being Muslim. Almost 12 years after 9/11, Eboo, did you find yourself hearing that from people around you, and did you find yourself thinking that yourself?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I am calling this being twice terrorized, the idea that you can be running in a marathon or cheering at the sideline and be a victim of a heinous act of violence. And my brother-in-law runs marathons, and we've cheered on the sides of the Chicago Marathon before, and I can imagine that well, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And of course, the second part of that terrorization is the recognition that people might well be looking at Muslims, myself, my wife, my mother, my two children, through the prism of an act of terror. Mm. My 5.5-year-old got into a bit of a tussle on the playground the other day, and he said the other boy called him a name. Mm. And he still won't tell me the name the other boy called him. Now, who knows? It could be, you know, something random that Zaid has big ears, which he would have inherited, unfortunately, from his father. But maybe it was that, you know, he got called a radical Muslim or a terrorist or something along those lines. In any case, these are things that are in the back of my mind, and they are all too real.
I think your Huffington Post article, Three Reasons Interfaith Efforts Matter More Than Ever, really clarifies this moment in time for those of us engaged in interreligious dialogue and activism. Let me just invite you to talk about those reasons.
You know, the way I've been thinking about this is, boy, we have to build bridges that are stronger than the bombs that other people might throw. There's a lot of reasons for why, but the three that I give in this op-ed, first one is that interfaith efforts help align people's own diverse identities. You know, everybody in America is some sort of hyphenated hybrid. And sometimes those identities feel like they're in opposition or in tension rather than in alignment or in harmony. And when you're in a conversation where people are talking about how being Irish and Catholic and American or Jewish and secular humanist and American, and those different identities are mutually enriching, you start to have that conversation within your own self. And so that's one of the reasons, is to help make our diverse internal identities mutually enriching rather than mutually exclusive. A second reason is that we need people who are able to bring people from different backgrounds together. And not only did that happen in that beautiful service in Boston, that beautiful interfaith service, but think about all of those doctors and nurses from all different religious backgrounds operating together in hospitals in Boston. Right, that's a profound interfaith effort, and we need interfaith leaders who are able to organize everything from religiously diverse operating rooms to interfaith volunteer projects to interfaith services that take place after tragedies, whether it's Newtown or whether it's Boston. And the final reason is that one of the things interfaith efforts help us do is separate the worst elements of a community from the broader elements. And so if the only time you ever think or hear about Muslims is when the evening news comes on and it's reporting on some terrorist incident, then you might well look at my sons, who are 3 and almost 6, through the prism of terrorism. But if you know plenty about Muslims, then you are far more likely to look at terrorists who twist Islam as outliers, as actually in violation of the tradition, than as somehow representative. So for those three reasons, those of us who are organizing interfaith programs, and that's just about everybody listening to this show, which is one of the reasons I love you doing this show, Welton.
Well,
I think we ought to feel emboldened to stand up, to speak out, and to build bridges.
Eboo, thank you. I found real wisdom in your describing so much of what we do every day as interfaith action.
The Catholic Church calls this the dialogue of life. It's simply the wonderful reality of living in a society in which people who orient around religion differently all contribute. And one of the things we ought to be proud of as Americans is that the United States was the first nation to believe that people coming from different parts of the earth, speaking different languages, praying to God in different ways, could come together and build a diverse democracy. Mm-hmm. And advancing that project is more important now than ever. And one of the reasons is because there are not a few voices and actors out there who want to destroy diverse democracies, and we have to build those bridges stronger than the power of those bombs.
Yeah.
And the second reason is that all over the world, whether it's Iraq or Kenya or Afghanistan or South Africa, societies are becoming more diverse, and they need examples of nations where diversity works well. And so whether you buy your morning coffee from an Arab Muslim, you buy your afternoon sandwich at a Jewish deli, you go to a restaurant owned by evangelical Christians, you listen to a radio station whose your favorite DJ is a secular humanist, we just ought to be aware of how people who orient around religion differently are contributing to our society and be in celebration of that and recognize that it doesn't fall from the sky. We people are advancing that, and we do it by the way we speak, by the bridges we build.
Ibu, I think that the vast majority of Americans have grown in their understanding of diversity, and that we are handling this tragic event in Boston much, much better than we handled 9/11.
I think that's right, Welton. I'm an optimist in a big way, and an optimist not just, I think, by constitution, but also because I live in America, and I'm a Muslim, and both of those identities tend towards optimism. You know, we have Muslim organizations that are far more comfortable speaking in public right now, very loudly and articulately decrying terrorism, being able to articulate how Islam speaks directly, beautifully to mercy, to peacefulness, to pluralism. That didn't exist in the same way after 2001. Many Muslim organizations back then were inwardly oriented and didn't have the same kind of eloquence, certainly the range of media contacts to be able to get on CNN, to be able to get on NPR, and to articulate a mainstream view of Islam. And I think America depends so much on people who stand up for those who are not like them. So whether that's Michael Bloomberg during the Ground Zero Mosque madness of the summer of 2010, or people like you, Welton, who've been doing this for decades and decades and decades, now we have folks saying that it is un-American, un-Christian, un-Jewish, un-humanist to paint all of our Muslim neighbors with a negative brush. And I think it's really important that there are Muslims who are saying, we got to do a better job at making sure that our religion doesn't get twisted into a form that leads to violence. While the mainstream community cannot be held responsible for the actions of terrorist groups or terrible terrorist incidents that are lone wolves, as in the case of the most recent incident in Boston, we can do better. And that's a conversation that's happening.
Ibu, how can all of us who are not Muslims be most helpful to our Muslim sisters and brothers during this time?
I think it's really important to tell stories of individual Muslims you know who are models of mercy and pluralism and dignity, right? That matters more than any abstract concept, however important those abstract concepts, mercy and pluralism, are in Islam. Saying, you know, my doctor's a Muslim and I've known him for 40 years and he helped me through this really difficult time, or my colleague at my accounting firm is a Muslim and, you know, she's the one who's got her door open and you can walk into her door and she'll help you with an issue whenever possible. And it's never something that she takes credit for. It's always something that is always done for the good of her colleagues. So to tell stories of individual Muslims in our lives, I think, is really important. This is how Catholics went from being a group that experienced traumatic prejudice in America to one that is now viewed very favorably. Same with Jews, increasingly about the LGBT community, and I think it's going to be the same with Muslims.
Ibu Patel is a popular Muslim writer and activist who founded Interfaith Youth Corps in 2002. His Huffington Post article is important reading. It's titled, Three Reasons Interfaith Efforts Matter More Than Ever. We'll have that article, by the way, on stateofbelief.com. Ibu, I'm always grateful for the work that you're doing and to take time out of a really busy schedule I appreciate you doing it.
Appreciate you, Welton. Appreciate all your listeners.